This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Shallots, spring onions, swedes, turnips, that sort of thing that you very likely have if you do winter gardening, farming, growing. Those things should be harvested and eaten straight away. The sidereal forecast moon in Virgo, dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. And indeed it is. I would recommend, if you have a huge amount of land or even several acres, to make compost piles in the areas that you plan to be working in the next 6 to 12 months. That way you've got everything you need right there. And that's it for the alternative forecast and for the conventional National Weather Service outlook. We have local stories today, and of course everything being a net sensitive dependence on initial conditions certainly applies, as does, of course, pattern recognition. It's through pattern recognition that we are able to look at local events and map that onto the world stage, thereby understanding events with a little bit more vertical depth, as opposed to just the broad approach that mainstream media has embraced. It has to start somewhere, and it's starting everywhere. The coming water wars will put to shame all of the prior instances of social upheaval, such as they are at this point in America. For years, voices on the left have been calling for a general strike. Water might be the trigger, not just because of climate catastrophe, which is taking place in slow motion all around us, and not so slow motion in many cases, flooding in places that don't often see high water marks this time of year. So it isn't just because of the climate change events, but also because profligate use of water in fracking, in our frantic urge to extract more and more and more resources for enormous populations that are tapping out the earth to an extent that we have completely destroyed the carrying capacity of the planet. So we are running out of water fast. And now, bringing it back home to the Cascadia, the Tualatin Valley Water District voted 4-0 this week, just yesterday, to tap the Willamette River. The district's need for water grows in the next 30 years and beyond. The district is partnering with Hillsborough, which voted in February to adopt the same long-term strategy for water supply. Long-term strategies for water supply are a very, very good idea, but as they are in any good tragedy, they're doomed because of many other variables that are involved. The two agencies plan to build a water treatment plant in Wilsonville and a pipeline to transport the water to Washington County. More on that. Again, it's only a small story if you have been seduced by mainstream media and you need big, sexy stories to get your dander up. This is real. It's happening right now. In a turn of events, one GOP lawmaker said it left him feeling almost dizzy. In Salem, in a desperate attempt to balance budgets, fund programs that the people depend on, and I urge everyone to avoid words like entitlement. It's not an entitlement. These are things that people are owed, and they've earned it, and it is owed to them. There was a surprising defeat in Salem that overshadowed the subsequent approval of the majority of Democrats' plan to curb cost of public employee pensions. Now, look, those people were promised that. They were promised that. They worked hard for a long, long time, and they were promised their pensions. That's being cut by Democrats because it seemed to ultimately reopen two issues that the House Democrats had hoped to avoid on the same day. The Democrats' tax bill would have generated $275 million in new state revenue over the next 2 years. That's a drop in the bucket, people, primarily by raising taxes on high-income Oregonians and large businesses. You know, $275 million for a business like, oh, let's say Nike, is nothing. Nothing. The CEOs of those companies spend that in a week. Democrats needed at least two votes from the House Republicans to get the 36 required to pass the original tax bill, 2456, in the lead-up to the vote this week. Democratic leaders were confident they had the necessary support, but boom, that got swept away. Left Salem reeling in the debris of a day where much was done, but not much was accomplished. We are going to speak now with Bill Walker, with Friends of the Earth. The San Onofre, it is now likely that there will have to be public hearings on the reopening of the crippled San Onofre nuclear plant. It's on the California coast. There's earthquakes in California. This is the coast. This affects all of us. But a greater issue here, in many ways, is the type of organizing and the impetus that spurred people like my guest Bill Walker and Friends of the Earth to take up this issue and fight on behalf of the public. Two things at stake here. Two things. This is a very big deal. A nuclear reactor on the California coast is the worst idea to come down the pike ever. And pushing this through without any public oversight, insight, any regulatory authority whatsoever, not even discussion, is outrageous. The privatization of virtually every aspect of our lives is being pushed through in secrecy. And secondly, of course, is organizing, getting people to work together to accomplish the goal. Catherine Austin Fitz spoke about this last night at the Illahi Lecture Series, and it certainly applies in this case. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. Glad to be on KBOO.
Well, so bring us up to speed on San Onofre and actually what was accomplished, because we don't have public hearings scheduled as yet.
Right.
But at least people know that this was being... that there was an attempt to slip this past virtually under wraps.
Let me back up a minute. You said it was the worst idea possible. I don't know if you're aware exactly how bad the idea is. It sits, this plant sits halfway between San Diego and Los Angeles. It is on two active fault lines, one of which is well overdue for an eruption. And in addition, there's something like 8.5 million people that live within 50 miles of the plant. And yet, what we have here is that about 5 years ago, Southern California Edison, the company that operates the plant, installed some new equipment. And they installed equipment in order to increase their profits of a type that had not been approved by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That equipment failed within less than 2 years. It's been shut down now for about 15 months, and really without even understanding what the problem is or doing any repairs, they are seeking permission to restart the plant and basically run an experiment to see whether or not it can be operated safely at reduced power. This, of course, is absolutely outrageous. The law is supposed to guarantee that you cannot either make this kind of major modifications to a plant or restart it without public hearings, and public hearings of a very specific type. These are public hearings that essentially are like a courtroom trial. They have rules of evidence. They have sworn witnesses. They take place before a judge. So it's not just people getting up and voicing their opinion. It's a very formalized legal process that we're pushing for, and which Southern California Edison is trying to avoid at all costs, because if they go to that process, it's long and it's costly and it's an uncertain outcome. This is what we've been facing, and to try and counter that, Friends of the Earth has been working with, I have to give most of the credit for the organizing effort, to groups on the ground in Southern California, particularly an organization in Orange County and San Diego County called San Clemente Green. They were sort of formed originally as a kind of Earth Day groups, kind of, you know, kind of innocuous, not really hard-edged, political or anything like that. But as the threat from San Onofre grew, they have grown more and more outspoken in their demands and more serious in their demands. And so they are putting the pressure on at the local level on the ground, and Friends of the Earth and some other national organizations are trying to fight in court, both at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and at the California Public Utilities Commission.
And that takes work, and that takes money, it takes commitment, and it takes time. But this is how, this is the only way that we are going to be able to stop the privatization of virtually everything, that private companies, private corporations trump governmental agencies and the governmental actions, legislation. We say that we are a nation of rule of law, and that we are all equal shareholders. And when something like this confronts us, that's when we see how very little power we actually have and how far the process of corporatization has advanced while we were sleeping. So I want to thank you so much, Bill. I'm delighted to have you on the show. Let's speak again very soon. CISPA sailed through the House yesterday, again compromising our online privacy to an extraordinary degree. And as we all know at this point, the red line is rapidly approaching. Israel claims that there are drones where drones shouldn't be, and of course that chemical weapons are in the offing in Syria. This is very bad news. And more on that later as it develops. It seems to be moving fast. It's in process. This has been Ekaskaidia for Thursday, April 15, 2013. Ruck Bergeron engineered the show today. Thank you so much, Ruck. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. And I want to thank listeners for their support for KBOO. There is no possible way to express how important and valuable community radio is, and how important as well the labor movement and unions are to this country and to the individuals, people, volunteers, and friends and associates here at the station. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints in Bangladesh, more than 100 young garment workers dead and over 1,000 wounded after they were forced to work in a building that was confirmed to be unstable. We'll have a special report from Charlie Kernaghan. Also in Northern California, local people face arrest for trying to block the building of a major freeway bypass through a fragile wildlife area. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead in Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We continue on a story that keeps getting worse and worse. Let me read to you a little bit from Reuters here. An eight-story building that housed garment factories and shops collapsed in Bangladesh on Wednesday, killing nearly 100 people and injuring more than 1,000. One fireman told Reuters about 2,000 people were in the Rana Plaza building in Saver, about 30 kilometers, 20 miles outside Dhaka, when its upper floors slammed onto those below. Well, somebody who knows a lot about this situation is Charlie Kernaghan. He has people on the ground. They have been talking about these fire traps, these death holes where young folks, mostly young folks, are forced to work endless hours for little pay, and they keep these tragedies keep getting worse. Charlie Kernaghan, welcome back to Flashpoints. Please, if you could, just outline what happened so that people who don't know anything about this story have an understanding of the magnitude.
Yes, this was this could end up being one of the worst disasters in any garment factory. Actually, the BGMEA, the Bangladesh Garment Manufacturers Export Association, said that there were over 3,000 workers in this factory compound on the outskirts of Dhaka in Sabar. The background of this is unbelievable, because what happened was on Tuesday morning, on the 23rd, the workers came to work at this massive compound, and in Sabar, and they saw gaping holes in the building. There were fissures. There were breaks that were literally a foot wide and 10 to 12 foot long. Workers could stand on the ground and look right into the factory, and so they refused to go in. Obviously, it was too dangerous. So the workers didn't go to work on Tuesday, the 23rd. There was a BRAC bank there. They cleared everybody out immediately. And what happened then, the workers went back on Wednesday, on the 24th, and they were having a discussion with the owner, like, we can't go in this factory. And the owner said, look, if you don't go in, you're not going to get paid for the entire month, because we're sending our shipments out now. And if we get our shipments out, you'll get paid for the month of April. If we don't get them out, you're not going to have any money whatsoever. And the workers cannot go without a month's wages. So the workers had to go back into this factory. They went in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 9 o'clock, the thing collapsed. And the five or six top stories just collapsed on each other like a pancake. And right now, as of Bangladesh time in the evening, 130 workers